The Philadelphia Inquirer and WHYY in Philadelphia partnered to report on depression and treatment options for new mothers. I'm Mike and Scott, host of WHYY's health and science show, The Pulse. This story is part of our episode, Becoming a Mother. Women are talking more openly about postpartum depression these days. There's even a new drug to treat the issues. Even so, not enough women are getting help when they are struggling. And some women of color say the stereotypes they face mean they don't feel safe asking for help. Philadelphia Inquirer reporter Aneri Patani has this story.
Ariel Dickey always wanted to be a mom. Ariel is 27 and lives in Philadelphia's Germantown neighborhood with her partner and their daughter, Oma.
She's like so sweet and nurturing, like, well, like if she sees me a little sad, she'll say, what's wrong? And she'll grab my face and kiss it.
Oma's too.
What color is it?
Green.
No, it's not green. What color is it?
Purple.
No, it's not purple.
Thinking back, Ariel says when maternity leave ended and she had to go back to work, the separation was overwhelming.
At my job, I remember sometimes I would be with my, talking to my boss and things, and I would have, this impulse of, I quit, you know, just because to me in that moment, it's like my time here isn't worth me being away from her.
The feeling continued for months.
And I used to have, breakdowns in the bathroom about it.
It was more than separation anxiety. But Ariel says she didn't dare utter the words postpartum depression. She was afraid of what people would think.
Oh, wait, postpartum depression, doesn't that mean you might, you want to harm yourself and a baby? You know, that whole thing. I was scared because it's just what if they think I'm a danger to us?
She felt like as a Black woman, she might not get a second chance. She worried child welfare would assume she's a bad mom. And what if they took Oma away?
It's something that I've seen happen, seeing growing up, hearing stories of moms that, they had their kid in, the most loving home and, for the slightest thing. Now you're under investigation. Now you're, it just didn't seem a risk I was willing to take.
Eventually, the situation got so bad, she told her boss, and they helped her get therapy. Many women don't have that type of support. Research shows women of color are up to 3 times more likely to suffer postpartum depression, but less likely to get treatment. Alfie Breland Noble is a psychiatrist at Georgetown University Medical Center. She says it makes sense that Black women worry about being judged more quickly and harshly.
What women of color, what they're experiencing and what they're reporting is either lived experience, or the experience of people they know, or people in the neighborhood, or people in the community.
She researches depression in minority communities, and the evidence is out there. Studies at the state and national level have found child welfare workers judge Black mothers as unfit at a higher rate than white mothers, even when they have the same education and income level.
The threat, just the idea that that might be leverage, me having depression might be leverage for someone to take my child from me. I wouldn't be want to be the person who takes that chance.
That fear can lead some women to hide their symptoms.
What got me into this line of work is just my passion for helping others and giving them a voice.
That's Aisha Ukda. She works for a nonprofit in Philadelphia called the Maternity Care Coalition. She does home visits with women who have a high-risk pregnancy and screens them looking for signs of depression. The questionnaire includes statements like, I've been able to laugh in the past 7 days, or I've been so unhappy, I have difficulty sleeping. Aisha's clients score each statement. A score above 10 means the woman might need mental health services. Aisha remembers one client scored a 22 on the screening when she was pregnant. But after that same woman had the baby, she scored a 0, like there were no problems at all.
And I always see a trend with a lot of my clients where if I did that screening before they had the baby, they're truthful with a lot of their answers, but then after they have the baby, they're a little more afraid and a little more timid.
About a month later, Aisha went to visit that mom again.
She kind of broke down and was crying during our whole entire home visit just because she was like, I was lying to you the first time that you came out. I really did need services and I just didn't want to admit it to you and myself.
Maternal health experts say underreporting of postpartum depression is a huge problem. Psychiatrist Alfie Breland Noble adds, it would help for doctors to learn more about a patient's cultural background and provide more personalized care. But there's another challenge. the screening tools doctors use may not work as well for women of color.
There were very few people of color or women of color in the samples that helped us develop the tools. And so what we're stuck with is tools that weren't necessarily developed with these cultural nuances in mind.
They often have key words like depression or anxiety, but different communities use different language.
So they'll say, I have the blues, I'm in my feelings, I don't feel right, something feels off. We have this old saying among Southern African Americans where people will say nothing ain't wrong, but something ain't right. You know what I mean? So it's just this uneasiness. So those are the kinds of things I've encountered with people where they will sort of talk around depression, but nobody really wants to say that what they have is a mental illness like depression.
Studies evaluating screening tools used for low-income African-American mothers found they don't catch as many women as they should. Researchers say it'd be better to use lower cutoff scores for women of color so they don't fall through the cracks. Portia Smith was one of those women who should have been identified and linked to help. She had her daughter Nellie 19 years ago.
I really didn't have a connection with her. I didn't want to.
It was a time when there weren't clear recommendations directing doctors to screen all new mothers for depression. Portia was 18 then, living away from her family for the first time and in a relationship with an abusive partner.
And I could not imagine in a million years why I would breastfeed this baby. It was no way. Because that means I would have to have her up connected to me. And I just, at the time being 18 years old, I just didn't want that.
She'd always been told being a mom was a magical experience. But it didn't feel that way. She found herself crying more than the baby.
She's crying all day, me too. We're both crying together.
It took Portia 6 months to work up the courage to seek care. But when she did, the doctor dismissed her symptoms as normal.
And I'm looking at him like, it's 6 months, 6-7 months after I had this baby. It's not getting any better.
Determined, she tried another clinic. There she finally got medication and counseling. Slowly, she started feeling better. And soon, she was connecting with Nellie.
Nellie, really?
Today, Portia and her teenage daughter, Nellie, do their makeup together.
Turn on that song. Like Cupid.
It's a big production. Bright lighting, a raised swivel chair, a black cape like the ones used at hair salons. And at the end of it, they take rounds of selfies.
Nellie, you was blinking. No. I always make it us be together. A brunch, a $5 movie. I don't care what it is. I make sure that we have that connection.
Now that she has it, she never wants to lose it again.
That's Philadelphia Inquirer reporter Aneri Puttani.